Okay, we're on Chav Gimel and Aleph. So Rav Sheish has just said that Achsenoy is Chayiv near Chanukah. And Rav Zera says, originally when I was in the house of people I would stay by when I was Yeshiva Bacher, I would chip in Mishtatfana Beprite, Badi Yishpiza. I would chip in with Prutos with the guest. Bosted in a CV, but after I got married, I married to a lady, I mean, I said, Hashtavali lo tshrichna, I don't need to do that anymore. The Kamadlik Olai Begav Besoy, because they light for me in my house. Well, even if he was away, yeah. When he got married and he was away, they used to learn, yes. Yes, they used to learn in yeshiva and they used to leave their wives. But if you have a wife and she's lighting for you in the house, that's fine.
Then you don't have to do it, okay.
Then you don't have to do it, correct. And Lamaisa, again, it's these things that complicated, a lot of subtleties involved in terms of different cases. But essentially, that really is true even nowadays when you're... You could light your own, but if you're on the road or you're at a guest in somebody's house and you don't have somebody lighting for you in your own house, then they would be mishtatif in a pruta, and that would get you a, you know, not even by Shabbos candles you have that, where you give the host a quarter or something and you buy a certain chelik of the candles, and then you're good to go for Shabbos, and that covers your Shabbos obligation. Take a look at Rashi. Last wide line of Rashi on top there, fourth line of Rashi. Busted the Nasivi. Okay, to answer Michael's question, even though I was a yeshiva bacher, even though I was married, I was still a yeshiva bacher, I still stayed in people's houses once in a while to learn Torah. Okay, let's go weiter. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Back in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Levi says as follows, Kol Hashmenim Kulon Yofen Lener, all oils are appropriate for lighting candles, lighting the light of a mitzvah. It doesn't say which one. Logically, it's near Chanukah, but it's doesn't specify, or Shabbos as well. Kol hashvenim kulam yofen l'ner, v'shem zayis ben amufchar. And desirous and the highest quality is shemen zayis, olive oil. That's the best. Amar Baye, the Baye says as follows: Mereisha v'mahadem mar amishcha deshumshami. Originally, mar, which is generally rabbah, was would try to get sesame seed oil. That would be the preferred oil in his mind. Why Amar, he would say, Hai Moshech Naharat Fei. This one lasts the longest. Sesame seed oil doesn't burn quickly. And because it doesn't burn quickly, it seemed to be the most prudent thing to get. That was what he preferred. However, Kivin Shamalei Lahai, Rabbi Shimon Levi, once you heard Rabbi Shimon Levi talk about the most preferred oil when it comes to lighting is olive oil, then... Once heard that Shimon Levi would go after olive oil as the number one preferred oil, this, he said to himself, that clearly the message is, it's not so much which lasts the longest, but which lights the best. Olive oil has the clearest, brightest light. And that seemed to be, in terms of the hidden mitzvah, that seemed to be the way to go. And therefore, that was what he would do. Okay, he would change. He changed from sesame seed oil to olive oil. Okay, right. Let's get to the two dots. Rabbi Shimon Levi kol hashmeini miyofin l'dio, v'shem zayis ben amufcher. Rabbi Shimon Levi says all oils are fine for making ink. We know that you have to use a specific type of ink when you make a sefer Torah. You just can't take a ballpoint pen and start writing. It doesn't work. So you have to use ink. And the making the ink, Rashi will explain to us that oil was part of the process of making the dio that would be used for Sefer Torah. Which oil would be the best oil to produce that ink? The answer is Shemen Zayis ben Amufcha. They're all kosher, but Shemen Zayis is preferred. See, Boiluhu, the Shaila was, however, there are the two parts of how oil plays a role in making ink. Two aspects. So the Shaila was, when you said that oil, that olive oil is the preferred method of making ink, he boiled gavel or ashen. Were you talking about kneading the ink? because they would knead it together, as we'll see in Rashi. They would blacken a glass with oil, and the smoke would blacken the glass, and then they would take the black off the glass, and they would knead it together with some oil, and then they would melt it down to make the ink. So when you say that olive oil is the preferred, you mean it's preferred for the kneading part, or l'ashen, for the smoking part, or for both? Which one did you mean when you said olive oil is the best? Toshma, so come in here. The Tanya of Shmuel bar Zot, you call Hashem Yofin L'Dio, all oils are fine for making ink. And when you talk about olive oil being preferred, he says clearly it's preferred both for the kneading aspect and for the smoking aspect. So in both cases, olive oil is the way to go. Shmuel bar Zutra learned a little bit differently. Kol ha'ashanim yofin l'dio. All smoking methods of smoking up a glass to create a black soot around the glass that you're going to, you know, chip down and use as ink, they're all good for dio. But shemen zayis is the preferred method. Rav Huna says kol asrafin yofin l'dio. All types of gums, I don't know, that's a sap or something. I don't know, when you say the word gum there, I don't know what that means, like from the tree stuff. So
sap,
all
it says here, sap.
Sap, okay.
Sap of the tree.
Okay, so all saps are good in making ink. Apparently that was also part of the process. I'm not sure if maybe they would replace the oil with the sap, or this is an additional component. I'm not sure. It could be one or the other. The sraf ktaf yofimikum, but the best one is this sraf ktaf, which is a name I already forgot, but of all the saps that are available, Michael, you want to tell us which seraph that is? But it's a
blackthorn.
Okay, whatever.
Gum is best of all.
What is? Okay, the best gum of them all is blackthorn. I thought it was Wrigley's, but okay, fine. Let's go weiter. Let's do Rashi now. A lie bishvili. So for sure, my wife is going to lie for me in my house. I don't have to worry. That's takadolach. The guy's on a business trip. He could really could rely on his wife to lie, and he's got no problem. Begav v'soy bebesi in my house. Moshech nura. So originally, I thought that sesame seed was better. Einam amayer lechalos k'shem and zayis. It does not quickly dissolve or get drawn out like shem and zayis. Shem and zayis quickly extinguishes. That's what I was looking for, right? So it extinguishes relatively fast, meaning that not that it doesn't hold the fire well, but it just burns up quickly. So you got to put a lot of olive oil to last for amount that you need, because olive oil burns quickly. On the other hand, that's why I preferred sesame seed oil. But then when I was enlightened, no pun intended, by Rishuma Levi, he told me that no, olive oil is the best. Solul nuhurat, solul umeir. It's clear and it lights well. Nothing lights like olive oil lights. Okay. Legavel. Okay, so this issue of kneading, what's going on with this ink, with the kneading and with the smoking? What's the deal there? So Rashi gives us the whole spiel. Legavel mutsasi b'tshuvas ha-goinim. I found in the tshuva of the goinim that they would do as follows. Shema ashnin klis chuches ba'ashon shemen zayis. They would smoke up a glass keli with the smoke of olive oil ad shemashchir, until it actually got black. V'gara shichur, and they would scrape off the blackness. V'noisim bo shemen kimoy, they would put a little bit of oil in there. V'gavaboy, and they would knead it up. V'yafsho b'cham, they would dry it in the sun. V'machas ha'latoch adyo, and then they would melt it into the ink. Okay, so that was essentially the process. So apparently the oil was an important part of making the ink. La'ashay namika depreciates, like that's exactly what I just finished saying. Sraf guma. Guma is a type of sap. Okay, kitaf furnail. Shalyar. Kamosharosu mishal sraf. Like we make, I guess, the ink from sap. So that's what they would do. And the best, all saps are kosher, but the best sap is this black stone, you said?
Thorn.
Black thorn? Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Let's go weiter. So at the two,
it's sort of amazing though, since the mitzvah was done with olive oil, the original Hanukkah candle, it would seem that there'd be some tie-in with olive oil from that standpoint. But there doesn't be any connection between the fact that the mitzvah originally was done, the miracle happened with olive oil, and the fact that they should use olive oil. It all comes down to at least the best flame, and, you know.
Yeah, I hear. I hear. So we haven't seen that. That's true. Okay.
Utilitarian standard. It's good.
This is sort of a, you know, I would have thought, you know, there would be a tie into olive oil somehow. We eat oily things.
That's why it was already being used.
Uh-huh. Okay, so take a look. If you take a look at that third toast on the page, all right, so originally I would go after sesame seed oil nearer than near Hanukkah Koi. So Tosfos says, as I mentioned, it's a little bit unclear from the Gemara which type of mitzvah are we talking about, which type of light are we referring to. It says it seems it's referring to near Hanukkah. We shem time of the masik, the nafish nuhur tfei, because it lasts longer. Avol near Shabbos pshita the shem zayis mitzvah nufcha, but when it comes to Shabbos, was never an issue. It's obvious that the olive oil is the preferred. Vishem shach achar psilat tfei, Mikulu, because it draws after the wick best more than anything else. Can the kulu the madlik? And everyone agrees when it comes to Shabbos that olive oil is the best. So this whole issue of sesame seed versus olive oil, and then eventually olive oil won out. That's only as it relates to Ner Chanukah, and not as it relates to Shabbos. Then I never bothered to check. The ladies now, the new thing is you buy these bottles of oil. So everybody, is that taka olive oil? I assume it's probably olive oil. I don't know.
It is.
It is.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, the clear stuff isn't. The clear stuff is, it's petroleum based. It's, you know, there's that clear stuff and then there's olive oil. There's two different.
Yeah. Because it doesn't look like, I mean, olive oil, you buy olive oil.
Right. Yeah.
This one has like, it looks like a specially made for Jews. So I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. They cheapen it up a little bit, maybe.
Or something.
Yeah. Okay. Fine, but we do see here from this place that olive oil taka is the best, although I know it's pretty expensive nowadays.
And the best for Shabbos, because then you didn't have as many wee light worries? Is that what that toast was interesting?
I think because I guess the whole point of Shabbos is, first of all, you couldn't afford to have it go out.
Right.
You know, so
right, that's
it. Right, exactly. So
you can't afford to have it flicker either.
Correct, and the whole idea is you know, covered Shabbos, right, and Shalom Bayis, you need to have a good light. The fact that it lights longer, I guess, isn't as critical as it lighting well and not going out. Okay. So we are back to the two dots, ready to roll. Okay, Amar Vchia Barashi, middle of the page, a little below the middle of the page. Amar Vchia Barashi Amarav, Amadlik Ner, Shal Chanukah Tzorach Levarech. If you light a Chanukah light, and whether it's a candle or it's the oil, when you light the light of Chanukah, you have to make a bracha. Okay, we know this. Rav Yirmi Amar Haroa Ner Shachanukah Tzorach Levarech. Rav Yirmi adds, even if you see the light of the menorah and you're not able to light where you are, or you just don't have the ability to do, but you do see the light, you have to make a bracha as well. So Amar Rav Yehuda says as follows: What bracha are you making? What?
Well, does that mean if you see somebody else light the candles, you can make a bracha?
Yes, it does mean you can make a bracha, but you have to know which bracha, and only if you're not going to light yourself. Okay, if you're going to light yourself, then you don't have to rely on somebody else lighting. You'll wait till you get home and you light and make your own bracha. But if you're not going to be in that place, and you're, I don't know, you're a soldier and you're just, you know, you have no menorah, nothing, but you do see somebody else lighting, you can make a bracha when he lights, but you have to make sure, you have to know the right brachas. So what are the brachas you make? Some of Yehuda, Yehuda says as follows, Yom Rishon Aroa Mavarach Beis, on the first day of Chanukah, if the one who sees the lighting makes two brachas, Umadlik Mavarach Gimel, but the one who's lighting makes three brachas, Dikan Ve'eluch, from the second day on, after the first day, Malik Mevarach Shtayim, the one who lights makes two brachas instead of three brachas. We all know this because we just follow the art scroll. Veroa Mevarach Achas, and the one who sees light makes only one brachas. So everything, a seer, is one less than the lighter all the time. It's either 3-2 or 2-1. But you never make an exact same amount of brachas as the lighter. My, Mamai, which one do you leave out? Mamai Zman. You leave out the, which one do you go down from 3 to 2? Which bracha do you not make when you go from the third, from the first day to the second day? Because originally you made 3 brachas, then you made 2 brachas. Which one do you leave out? You leave out the Zman. Okay, interesting. Why do you leave out the Zman? V'namat Neis. I mean, the Neis happened, right? That was really the first day is the Neis, and then afterwards, that's you're entering Chanukah, and after that, it's sort of, okay, I don't know. It's interesting having me to what's more thinking that you should subtract the Neis. You should memayid that. Neis kol yom isay. So it seems like a pretty simple answer. The Neis happened every day. So there's no reason not to make a bracha on the Neis every day. Because every day, unless, I don't know, maybe didn't. The first day, if they held in the Havamina that it nothing became. Because a simple pshat is 1/8 every day, you know, and then there was a miracle every single day. But maybe in the Havamina, the Gemara thought that the fire was untouched. So the first day was the main miracles, and didn't touch the fire. The exact same amount, the oil was untouched. The exact same amount of oil you had before the first day, you had in the second day. In which case, the real miracle happened on the first day. But still, it's still a miracle to have that full amount of oil every single day. I'm not sure. Okay, but maybe the little bit that might have been the Havamina. But the answer is Pashut, that no, every day there was an ace. So, to answer your question, you after the first day you eliminate Zman, then you're left with 2, and clearly what you don't make, if you're a seer as opposed to a lighter, you don't make the Lahadik Nesh Chanukah. From the first night, the seer is going to make 2. He's going to make a Shechiyonu, and he's going to make a Shasa Nisim. And on the second night, he's going to make Shasa Nisim alone, and not Zman. But Lahadik Nesh Chanukah, you're never going to make, because you're not lighting the candle. You're the oil, you are watching the miracle. So you don't make that bracha. Okay, so my mavarch, what bracha, what exactly is the language of the bracha? Because they didn't have art scrolls in those days, so they didn't really know what to say. So my mavarch, asher k'dishonu mazov tzivonu lachnei shachanaka. Okay, we know this. Veichen tzivonu, really? Tzivonu? Asher k'dishonu mazov tzivonu? Where's the tzivonu? The Chanukah candles was a rabbinic injunction. What kind of tzivonu? Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us to light the candles when it's a rabbinic responsibility? So how can you say Asheka Dishonu B'Mesoyis of Tzivanu? The answer is, very important answer to remember, you got to tell this to the kids too when they start complaining about the Rabbanans. Rav Avi Omar Miloy Sosser. The answer is, the Torah tells you in the beginning of, is it Veschanan there, or it's Ekev, the Torah says, Loy Sosser, do not deviate. Do not move away from the words of the Rabbanan. So therefore, since the Torah tells you, do not move away from the Rabbanu, when the Rabbanu tell you to do something, if you don't listen, you're over a lava of Yisasa. So it is Asher Kedishanu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to listen to Rabbanu. That's one answer. V'lechem yom ha'shal avichav yageitcha, zekenechav yom rulach. The Pasuk, where is this in the Hazinu? Ask your father, he will tell you, your elders, and they will command you and tell you. So the message clearly is, and that's a more positive, that listen to your elders, listen to your Rabbanon. So whether you want to look at it from a lav point of view or an asay point of view, either way, you've got the Rabbanon covered, coming and going. And yes, you can certainly say v'tzivanu even on the Rabbanon de Gedin. Okay, there's a whole big tumult. Can you say tzivanu on a minug? That's why the whole tumult on Rosh Chodesh, right? When Halal Rosh Chodesh, the Sfaradim, Malasfaradim don't make a bracha. Because how can you say Asher Kedishonu b'mitzvos of v'tzivanu across the Hallel, when maybe it's not a tzivu, it's not a rabbinic, because Rosh Chodesh it's only chatzi Hallel. Anyway, same, that's a similar argument of the same type of thing. Can you say tzivanu on a minig? Okay, let's catch up on the Rashi's here. Harom Avarach Shtayim, about a third of the way down. Harom Avarach Shtayim, Shas Nisim V'Shechiyonu. You make the Shas Nisim, you make the Shechiyonu. Shenom Avarach La'alik Da'aloy Adlegiyu. He's not lighting, so of course he doesn't make the La'alik Ne'er Shechanukah. My Mamayit, which one do you omit?
I think it was a different
Havoah. What?
Is there a different
Havoah? Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Okay, back it up. All right. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
The demerit on Friday, I didn't speak up. So I
what?
I said after the demerit on Friday.
Yeah, yeah, right. You got to speak up. Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm. You got to open up. Yeah. Okay, Haroa. Ha'eva b'shuk. Right? So we backed up one Rashi. I skipped one Rashi. Haroa. Ha'eva b'shuk. Varoa b'echad ha'chatzeros dolek. The person is walking by the shuk and he sees one of the candles lighting. He's got to make a, he should make a bracha. Of Sha'asa Nisim, and on the first night you also add the Zman. Shechenu v'kimanu. Musas b'shem Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Yehuda Shama Mishra Rabbeinu Yaakov Deloy Husku Brachazu Elmi Shaloy Hilik Beisa Dain Ol Yosha B'sfina. Okay, this is only required of a person who did not yet make a brach in his house yet, or he's on a boat. Or he's that means he's out of commission and he won't be able to, so he just sees a light, can make a brach. And the Loshna Dayin does sound like, and he changes it, and that's what I was saying. Shein Daitel Halikul Ba'atzmo, he has no intention of lighting by himself. So it seems like it might be a little bit of a tumult in the Rishonim. If you just see it first and you do intend to light, would you have to? It sounds from Rashi, if you just read Rashi straight up without the Mordechai's correction, then it's not like you would have to light. As long as you didn't light yet, you would still have to make the bracha just when you see the light. But the Mordechai has, and you don't intend to light later, or you're in a boat where you can't light, so you're sort of stuck, and then you would make the bracha. Okay. I think halacha maaseh, that's what we do. We don't say Shas Nisim, if you're on your way home and you see somebody lighting again, we don't make a bracha. We rely on the bracha we're going to make when we get home. Okay, so let's skip the next Rashi. We just did that. Now, my, what do you diminish? What do you omit? Hamadlik b'shar yomim ezim nashol shumayit. Of the three brachas you make on the first night, what do you omit on the second night? So, and the answer was the zman. Let's admit the ness. Okay, and the answer is kol yom isay sharei kol shmoinet liku minapach. All 8 days is a little bit of oil that was burnt from the pach. Av zman. But when it comes to the Shechianu, okay, Mishigianu lit as cholazman higianu. Once we reach the beginning of Hanukkah, we're in Hanukkah. So you have to make Shechianu every single day of Hanukkah. Okay, I what about Pesach and Yontif? And we make 2 days. That's because Sveikat Yom, because every day is considered the first day. But once you're in, you're in. Okay, by Pesach you're in. It's not a new Yontif. So when you get to the second days, you don't make a new Shechianu because I'm in Pesach already. So there's no I Sukkah. Sukkah is a new Yontif. Shmini Atzeres is a new Yontif, so you make a new Shechianu at the end. Okay, but and on the first 2 days, it's a Sveik of the Yomus. So that's different. Okay, how do you make Tzivanu on a rabbinic commandment? Heichen Tzivanu halav deraisi elmi devrayim. It's rabbinic. What's not deraisi? What's going on here? The answer is no. It is not rabbinic. It starts off of being rabbinic, but rabbinic unfolds into a deraisi milay saser. The Torah says, do not deviate from their words. Okay, ready to go. Vaita, that's it. That's Vaita, that next Rashi. So, okay, so right now we're holding by the position that you do make a bracha on a rabbinic matter. So, Masav Amram, second wide line on the page. Masav Amram, Ramram has a question. Hadamai, let's learn this mission. Demai. Hadamai, what's demai? Demai is grain and food from an Amoritz. And in those days, an Amoritz was different than today. An Amoritz. An Amoritz today just he didn't go to yeshiva, but in those days it was more. There was a greater level of ignorance, maybe. I mean, but it was a lot of ignorance. Also, there's actually even a somewhat negative perspective, but we don't need that right now. Right now, we just need the fact that an Amoritz who is not trusted, I guess because of that negative view of keeping halacha, they were not really trusted to separate maestros on their own. So therefore, the Rabbanu came along and said, since we're doubtful, we don't know whether an Amoritz will be taking off trumas and maestros, if you get invited over to Joe the Amoritz's house, okay, and you're sitting there and he puts down a nice piece of cake, for you to eat. You don't want to insult him on one hand, but You want to eat, but how are you going to eat from stuff that you're not sure? So you take off your mafresh, you take a little bit off, you put it into the napkin, and you give it to the kohen later, and to the levi. So you have to mafresh demai. So in mafreshing demai, what are the rules of when you're taking this demai from a chumra point of view? What's the status of this demai? Okay, so a lot of different issues. Number one, you have demai and you want to make an eruv. So can you make an eruv with demai? Now demai can't be eaten by everybody until you separate. However, it could be eaten by an ani, because the halacha is, since the whole thing is a rabbinic chumra, if the guy's poor, you start making him be mafresh other stuff, it's a big hassle. So the rabbanim were makel on poor people, and technically, if a person is poor, he can eat demai without being taking trumas to maestros.
Because he has to give trumas for maestros. That's why the poor, he has to take trumas and maestros from his food. In other words, when the poor goes to the field to collect the lechach and the shikra and whatnot.
No, that's lechet, shikra. But if a poor person has his own.
But he doesn't take off.
No, because that's a din in the peya and the lekka and the shema that they're not mechuyev the mice. I think
right.
You're right about that, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about whatever. You invite a poor person to your house. Okay, now you can't give him tevel and he can eat it. Can't eat tevel. Poor person can't eat tevel. So,
okay.
Or if a poor person has a small piece of field, small piece of field, and he has grain, he can't eat tevel and say, I'm poor, I don't have to eat for shumas and maishas. However, he has to eat a chiv. He's a regular Jew, he has chivim. But since it's a rabbinic issue, the rabbis were makel and said, you don't have to take off shumas and maishas. Now, every Jew, therefore, potentially has a shaychus to demai, of eating demai. Why? Because technically all of us could be mafker, all of our property, and say, I'm a poor person, because everything I own is now becoming hefker, and then you have access to it. So because you have access to it, it's seen as something accessible to Klai Yisrael, and therefore the halach is, hadamai ma'arvin bo, you can make a ruvich hatzeros with demai, mushtatfin bo, you can make a shtufin mavos with demai, uvarchalov, and you could make an amotzi lechem haaretz on demai. I guess this is referring to a poor person, because regular person has to first be mafresh, so what's he making a bracha? If you're poor, you want to make a motzi, you can make a motzi on demai. Uzam no love, you can make a zimun on demai. Rabbi Sai Mevel Benshin, mafreshin so orum, you can
set. You have to be poor in order to
say? To eat demai, you have to be poor.
Everybody has to be poor.
Well,
you say Rabbi Sai Mevel Benshin, must have been more than one.
Okay, or one of them had and two others did, whatever. Yeah, it could be if all three. Yeah,
qualified
yeah.
For food stamps.
You had an EM convention at the MGM Grand, and everyone's eating demai. Okay, that was like the hot item on the menu.
One guy has food stamps or whatever. Yeah, whatever it is.
Right. So just because they ate demai does not mean they can't be part of that zimun, or you want to make it all the zimun. It doesn't matter, all or part. You're relying on them to be part of the Zimun. Yes, the answer is you can do that. Also, Arum, you don't have to be clothed to separate Demai. Separating Demai is sort of a non-sanctified act, and therefore you can be naked in separating Demai. Somehow you got you're still in the mikveh, and they have the sponge cake there, and you need to separate it. Okay, and you can separate it. Ubeina Shmashos, and also you can do it. Beina Shmashos. You can separate it. Shabbos, if you want to be able to eat it.
We say that every Shabbos.
Yeah, okay, very good. Marvin told me, yeah. So,
we say it every Shabbos, every Friday night.
Yeah, right, but remember Leakin, right. V'yamr kol midrabbanan boy bracha. Now, wait a minute. So, what's this bracha got to do with anything that we just said? If you have to make a bracha on rabbinic injunctions, and demai is a rabbinic injunction, and you have to make a bracha when you separate, how can you separate it naked? You just told me you can separate it naked, but if you're naked, you can't make a bracha. So how in the world can you separate it naked when a bracha is in order? So he says, V'yamrit kol rabbanan by bracha, hacha ki ka'arim, hecha mavarech. We have a rule, your camp needs to be holy. When you're involved with holy things, you got to be covered properly. You can't make a bracha with your erva showing. And the Gemara answers, V'lekha, and you don't have it here. I'm Rabbi, relax. V'adai de devrayim boy bracha. When you have a rabbinic injunction, that's a v'adai rabbinic injunction, and you need a bracha. Sofa devrayim boy bracha. But if it's a doubtful injunction, meaning that the rabbis only instituted this from a doubtful point of view, that does not require a bracha. Really? Doubtful rabbinic injunctions don't require bracha. V'yontif sheni the savi devrayim who boy bracha. What do you do with second day yontif? Second day yontif is a doubt. We don't know whether it's a, and yet you make a bracha. You say kiddush, right? Who doesn't make kiddush on second day yontif? We all make kiddush. So how could you make a bracha when it's a doubt? And we just finished saying that doubtful injunctions don't make a bracha. The answer is hasim keched lo we don't want you to mezalzel in the yontif, because even now we are afflicted with this second day yontif mentality. Everyone has this, not everyone, but a lot of people have this sort of, you know, chip on their shoulder about the second day yontif with the showers, they got some mice. So the Rabbanan knew there's going to be a chip on your shoulder, and therefore the Rabbanan tightened the screws on that yontif by treating it with a special level of deference and awe and reverence. So therefore, they said, in order to you not be mezalzel, we are commanded you do make kiddush. But typically, on a suffik drabanon, we're not going to make a bracha. Second day yontif is different. That's one teretz. Rav Amar, Rav Ami Oretz Meisrenhein. Rav says it's not even a suffik. It's really less than a suffik. Rav says the reality is that majority of amaratzim do take meiser. Drabanon decided because 41% of amaratzim didn't take Trumas and Mises was significant enough, I just made that number up, it's a significant enough number that would require the Rabbanan to say, you know what, L'chumra, go ahead and do it. But it's not even an obligation. It's not even a suffix, it's more like a chumra ba'alma, and as a result, it does not require a bracha. But the second, a yontif, which is an obligation, that is a different story. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Ma'arvin boy. Almost by the middle of the page, Ma'arvin by Ruvei Chatzeres Tchumin. You can make a Ruvei Chatzeres. You can make a Ruvei Tchumin as well. Mishtatvim by B'movi. We learned about the Shtufei Mavos. That you want to close up a Movi and you want to allow people to carry in there. The boy, why? Why can you use the Mai for a Shtufei Mavos and for Ruvei Chatzeres and Ruvei Tchumin? The boy Mafkul Nirsei Vavi Ani V'Chazilei. Because if you want to, you can mafkul all your property. You can become an Ani. And befitting for demai. Kretan machilas aniyim demai hilka choshev didei. It's considered his from the point of view that I have potential access to it, and that's why it's considered ours, and that we can make an eruv. Uvarchalov hamoitzi uzamlov birchas hazimun. Umafrisho so adam shu arim klemar. A person who's naked can be mafish the. The Mai, the Loi Tzara Chloima, meaning to say the Loi Tzara Chlevruchela, Vafrishasa. There's no need to make a bracha, and since it's just a technical or physical exercise of separating food, you can separate it even though you're unclothed. But if you have to make a bracha, it says Vayamachanecha Kadosh, Vel Yoralach B'Chayvres Dover. The pasuk continues, there should not be inappropriate nakedness showing in your camp. I feel Dover. I feel dibur, the askaras Hashem, lo yirol chaberves davar, even something which is spoken. It's only a spoken thing. It's not the tefillin or anything that's really holy in terms of a physical matter. But just words alone, even words, have to be holy, meaning you have to be covered. And the more answers, vadai devrayim going ner chanukah, when it comes to ner chanukah, which is a vadai injunction that requires a bracha. Safik devrayim going demai, shafreshasa in el misafik, it's only a doubtful situation we don't. What about Uboy Bracha? Kiddush Hayom. Right, now there's the second day yontif requires a bracha by making Kiddush. So how can you tell me it doesn't require, that suffix do not require bracha? What about Kiddush? The answer is the Rabbanon there strengthen the second day yontif to avoid zilzal, to avoid a shameful situation where we're not going to respect it. Ravi gives a different answer. Rav Amar Sofer Devarim Boy Bracha. A doubtful rabbinic law does require bracha. Udamai. I feel suffik lo havei. Demai is not even considered a doubt. Elo chumra b'alma is viewed as a chumra. The roiv ame oretz ma'isrenein. Because the majority of amaratzim do take ma'iser, and since the majority do, this was only instituted as a chumra b'alma, and maybe this is where the chumra of the month club started from this mentality, and things got a little crazy over the centuries. Okay, so let's continue. But this was obviously legitimate chumra, I'm not here to. Okay, so now let's go weiter. Amar Rav Huna, two dots. Okay, Amar Rav Huna. Ravuna says as follows: Chotzi sheish bo beis psachim. If a house has two entryways, has two openings, tzuricha shtei neiros. You need a Hanukkah menorah by each one. V'amar Rava. Okay, loy amron ella mishtei ruchos. It's only true that you need two menorahs for each entryway of the house, because obviously you want to cover both places where people walk by. It's only from two different directions. But if the both entryways are on the same side of the house, so I see one, I see, and I don't see the other, big deal, I see the other one. So the fact that there's two entryways, if it's on the same side, it's not a big deal, one menorah will suffice. My time, Marissa, I don't get this. I don't understand what the problem, what the distinction is. Ilei mishim chashado, if it's an issue of chashad, that people are going to walk by and not suspect, and suspect that you're not lighting, chashado daman. Whose suspicion are you concerned about? Who's going to walk by and not know what you're doing? Ilei mechashado de alma, if you're referring to outside people who don't know you, who people from outside the neighborhood who are visiting, well, they see two doors, it could be two houses, two apartments, okay? They don't know it's two doors to the same guy. It could be, so if it's an outside person who's just visiting from a different city, I feel baruch achas namili boy. Even from one side, you should have to light two menorahs, because people from the outside don't know that there's only one guy in that house. Okay, and if it's the people of the city you're worried about, then I feel mishnei ruchos namila. Everyone knows this is Rabinowitz's house, and he's got seven doorways for seven directions. Okay, he's got a septagon shaped house, so everyone knows that's all his. It's all his doorways. So if it's a local people, then there's nothing to worry about, because everyone knows it's all his house. So I don't understand. Either you should have to light at every doorway, or have to light at only one doorway. And there's no, the whole idea of doing more than one doesn't seem to make sense. Where it says lo, namilo. Right. 1 second. I feel shnei ruchos namilo liboy. Where it says no. Let me explain it to you. Li'ayla mishum chashada. The Bnei Masa, really the concern is the people in the town. We're not worried about people from out of town taking trips here and wondering what's going on with Shabbos candles, with the Hanukkah candles here. V'zimna the mechalfi, b'haivol chalfi, but however, even with the local people, there are those who pass by one side of the house, they don't pass by the other side of the house, and they're going to say, oh my gosh, looks like Rabinowitz is not lighting candles. Now, Ida's another side. He's not going to think about the other side. He's just passing by this side. He's not going to know. And if you want to avoid the problem, that's why you have to light on both sides. But if it's on the same side, everyone's going to know Rabinowitz is lighting candles, so everything is good. The Amre, and they're going to say, just like he didn't light in this opening, he's not going to light in the other opening as well. Okay, therefore, in order to avoid the potential concern, we make you light from on both directions. Rashi, chotzer sheish bo beis psachim sheish lebayis beis psachim psuchim lechotzer. The two different openings are open to the courtyard. Tzrichin shtei neiros neir lechol v'chas. You need two lights for each opening. Kedefarsh time v'shem chshoda. Because we're afraid about concern of suspicion. Okay, people might think the house is divided. They're going to say one of the two people is not fulfilling the mitzvah of Hanukkah. And clearly they wanted everyone to get on the bandwagon here. They were very concerned. So Mar says, Mibez Ruchos, that's only true when it's from two different sides. Echa b'tzafim v'echa b'mizrach. One in the north and one in the east. I'm not sure why he doesn't like the west, but okay. Chashad the Alma. So if you've heard about the outside people, b'nei'ir acheres, over misham b'shug, people from the outside city coming to the marketplace, if that's what you're concerned about, then I feel meruch achas nami, surnein shabayis cholok mitocho. The people from the outside are not going to know that it's one. They're going to think it's split in the middle. That's why I have two doorways, and they're going to say, hey, someone's not lighting. And they know that it's not split in the middle, okay, then what's the problem? And the answer is because they're going to only pass by one side and not the other side, and that's why if it's on two sides, you have a problem. If it's on one side, you don't have a problem. Or is it, wait a minute, Uminot Tamra, back to the Gemara. Uminot Tamra, the Chashil Chashad. How do you know that we are concerned for Chashad? Thank you. He says, the Tanya, because it says in the Braisa, Amr of Shimin, because Rav Shimon says, Bishol Abar Devorim, Amr Taira, Laniach, Peya, Besov Sadeu. There are four reasons why the Torah said you put Peya at the end of your field. Four different reasons why the Torah talks about leaving it over at the very end. Do not, take and work the end of your field and leave it over for the aniyim. They gezel aniyim because we're afraid that people might steal it. If you're going to do it earlier and not leave it at the very last part of the corner of the field, then people aniyim can come earlier and steal it. They bittel aniyim or because they're going to. You can work out a system. That the aniyim are going to get you're going to take it away from them, and they're not going to have access to it. Umnechshad, and because of a concern of a suspicion, mishum batachala, because of the concern and because of the obligation of the Torah, do not leave over the corner of your field. Okay, so these are the various reasons why. Four reasons why. Negezel aniyim shal yirabal abayis shah penuya. So what do you mean about stealing from the aniyim? What does that mean? Okay, because we don't want a situation. The balbayis will see an open time. Oh, it looks like it's a nice break. No aniyim around. The yom lekrovo ani harezu peya. So in the middle, while he's still working his field, he'll call over Joe, the poor guy, his nephew, and he'll say, "I'm gonna designate this peya. Joe, you come right now, quick, get it." And he's gonna be stealing from the aniyim. Right. So this is the one that's gonna be take away from the aniyim, and we don't want you to do that. So in order to avoid that, when everyone knows that when Yankel gets to the corner, that's when the payah will be taken. Everyone knows I got time. There's no like outsmarting anybody because it's all going to be very, very clear. So reason number one is Gezel Niyam. So you don't want this guy to tell his relative, hop in order to, so we wait till the end. We'll do the rest, Bezer Shem, tomorrow.